The Flowers of Evil, Charles Baudelaire. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com. The Project Gutenberg ebook of The Flowers of Evil. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online. www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. Title: The Flowers of Evil, author: Charles Baudelaire, translator: Cyril Scott. Release date: May 13, 2011. Ebook 36,098. Most recently updated: April 3, 2024. Language: English. Other information and formats: www.gutenberg.org/ebook/36,098. Credits: produced by Andrea Ball and Mark DeHook, from images generously made available by the Internet Archive, asterisk start of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK The Flowers of Evil, asterisk, The Flowers of Evil, by Charles Baudelaire. Translated into English verse by Cyril Scott, London, Elkin MATHEWS, Vigo Street. MCMIX, dedicated to Arthur Symons. Contents: benediction, echoes, the sick muse, the venal muse, the evil monk, the enemy, ill luck, interior life, man and the sea, beauty, the ideal, the giantess, hymn to beauty, exotic perfume, la chevelure, sonnet XXVII, posthumous remorse, the balcony, the possessed one, semper idem, all entire, sonnet XLII, the living torch, the spiritual dawn, evening harmony, overcast sky, invitation to a journey, cosery, autumn song, Sisina. To a Creolean lady, Mosta et Arabunda, the ghost, autumn song, sadness of the moon goddess, cats, owls, music, the joyous defunct, the broken bell, spleen, obsession, magnetic horror, the lid, Bertha's eyes, the set of the romantic sun, meditation, to a passerby, illusionary love, mists and rains, the wine of lovers, condemned women, the death of the lovers, the death of the poor, benediction, when by the changeless power of a supreme decree, the poet issues forth upon this sorry sphere. His mother, horrified and full of blasphemy, uplifts her voice to God, who takes compassion on her. Ah, why did I not bear a serpent's nest entire, instead of bringing forth this hideous child of doom? Oh, cursed be that transient night of vain desire, when I conceived my expiation in my womb. Yet since among all women thou hast chosen me to be the degradation of my jaded mate, and since I cannot, like a love leaf wantonly, consign this stunted monster to the glowing grate, I'll cause thine overwhelming hatred to rebound upon the cursed tool of thy most wicked spite. Forsooth, the branches of this wretched tree I'll wound and rob its pestilential blossoms of their might. So thus she giveth vent unto her foaming ire, and knowing not the changeless statutes of all times, herself amid the flames of hell prepares the pyre, the consecrated penance of maternal crimes. Yet neath th invisible shelter of an angel's wing, this sunlight-loving infant disinherited exhales from all he eats and drinks and everything the ever-sweet ambrosia and the nectar red. He trifles with the winds and with the clouds that glide about the way unto the cross. He loves to sing. The spirit on his pilgrimage, that faithful guide, oft weeps to see him joyful like a bird of spring. All those that he would cherish shrink from him with fear, and some that waxen bold by his tranquility endeavor hard some grievance from his heart to tear and make on him the trial of their ferocity. Within the bread and wine outspread for his repast, to mingle dust and dirty spittle they essay, and everything he touches forth they slyly cast, or scourge themselves if e'er their feet betrod his way. His wife goes round proclaiming in the crowded quads, since he can find my body beauteous to behold, why not perform the office of those ancient gods, and like unto them redeck myself with shining gold? I'll bathe myself with incense, spikenard, and myrrh, with genuflections, delicate viands, and wine, to see in jest if from a heart that loves me dear I cannot filch away the homages divine. And when of these impious jokes at length I tire, my frail but mighty hands around his breast entwined, with nails like harpies' nails shall cunningly conspire the hidden path unto his feeble heart to find. And like a youngling bird that trembles in its nest, I'll pluck his heart right out, within its own blood drowned, and finally to satiate my favorite beast, I'll throw it with intense disdain upon the ground, towards the heavens where he sees the sacred grail. The poet calmly stretches forth his pious arms, whereon the lightnings from his lucid spirit veil the sight of the infuriated mob that swarms. O blessed be thou, Almighty, who bestowest pain like some divine redress for our infirmities, and like the most refreshing and the purest rain, to sanctify the strong for saintly ecstasies. I know that for the poet thou wilt grant a chair. Among the sainted legion and the blissful ones, that of the endless feast thou wilt accord his share, to him of virtues, dominations, and of thrones. I know that sorrow is that nobleness alone, which never may corrupted be by hell nor curse. I know, in order to enwreathe my mystic crown, I must inspire the ages and the universe. And yet the buried jewels of Palmyra old, the undiscovered metals and the pearly sea of gems that unto me you show could never hold. Beside this diadem of blinding brilliancy, for it shall be engendered from the purest fire, of rays primeval from the holy hearth amassed, of which the eyes of mortals in their sheen entire are but the tarnished mirrors, sad and overcast. Echoes, in nature's temple, living columns rise, which oftentimes give tongue to words subdued, and man traverses this symbolic wood, which looks at him with half-familiar eyes, like lingering echoes, which afar confound, themselves in deep and somber unity. As vast as night and like transplendency, the scents and colors to each other respond, and scents there are, like infants' fleshes chaste, as sweet as oboes and as meadows fair, and others proud, corrupted, rich, and vast, which have the expansion of infinity, like amber, musk, and frankincense, and myrrh, that sing the soul's and senses' ecstasy. The sick muse, alas, my poor muse, what aileth thee now? Thine eyes are bedimmed with the visions of night, and silent and cold I perceive on thy brow. In their turns despair and madness alight, a succubus green or a hobgoblin red, has it poured o'er thee horror and love from its urn, or the nightmare with masterful bearing hath led thee to drown in the depths of some magic mintern? I wish, as the health-giving fragrance I cull, that thy breast with strong thoughts could forever be full, and that rhythmically flowing thy Christian blood could resemble the olden-time metrical flood, where each in his turn reigned the father of rhymes, Phoebus, and Pan, lord of harvest times. The venal muse, O muse of my heart, so fond of palaces old, wilt have, when new year speeds its wintry blast, amid those tedious nights with snow o'ercast, a log to warm thy feet benumbed with cold, wilt thou thy marbled shoulders then revive, with nightly rays that through thy shutters peep in, void thy purse and void thy palace, reap. A golden hoard within some azure hive thou must, to earn thy daily bread each night, suspend the censer like an acolyte, te deum sing with sanctimonious ease. Or as a famished mountebank with jokes obscene, essay to lull the vulgar rabble's spleen, thy laughter soaked in tears which no one sees. The evil monk, the cloisters old, expounded on their walls with paintings the beatic verity, the witch, adorning their religious halls, enriched the frigidness of their austerity. In days when Christian seeds bloomed o'er the land, full many a noble monk unknown today, upon the field of tombs would take his stand, exalting death in rude and simple way. My soul is a tomb where, bad monk that I be, I dwell and search its depths from all eternity, and naught bedecks the walls of the odious spot. O sluggard monk, when shall I glean aright from the living spectacle of my bitter lot, to mold my handiwork and mine eyes' delight? The enemy. My childhood was naught but a ravaging storm, enlivened at times by a brilliant sun. The rain and the winds wrought such havoc and harm, that of buds on my plot there remains hardly one. Behold now the fall of ideas I have reached, and the shovel and rake one must therefore resume, in collecting the turf, inundated and breached, where the waters dug trenches as deep as a tomb. And yet these new blossoms, for which I craved, will they find in this earth, like a shore that is laved, the mystical fuel which vigor imparts? O misery! Time devours our lives, and the enemy black which consumeth our hearts on the blood of our bodies increases and thrives. Ill luck, this heavy burden to uplift, O Sisyphus, thy pluck is required, and even though the heart aspired, art is long and time is swift, afar from sepulchres renowned, to a graveyard quite apart, like a broken drum my heart, beats the funeral march's sound. Many a buried jewel sleeps, in the long-forgotten deeps, far from mattock and from sound many a flower wafts aloft, its perfumes like a secret soft, within the solitude's profound interior life. A long while I dwelt beneath vast porticoes, while the ocean suns bathed with a thousand fires, and which with their great and majestic spires, at eventide looked like basaltic grottos, the billows in rolling depictured the skies, and mingled in solemn and mystical strain the almightiest chords of their luscious refrain, with the sunset's colors reflexed in mine eyes. It is there that I lived in exalted calm, in the midst of the azure, the splendor, the waves, while pregnant with perfumes, naked slaves refreshed my forehead with branches of palm, whose gentle and only care was to know the secret that caused me to languish so, man and the sea, free man. The sea is to the ever dear, the sea is thy mirror, thou regardest thy soul, in its mightiest waves that unendingly roll. And thy spirit is yet not a chasm less drear. Thou delight'st thee to plunge deep in thine image down, thou tax'st it with eyes and with arms and embrace, and at times thine own inward voice wouldst thee efface, with the sound of its savage ungovernable moan. You are both of you somber, secretive, and deep. O mortal, thy depths are foray unexplored. O sea, no one knoweth thy dazzling hoard. You both are so jealous your secrets to keep, and endless ages have wandered by, yet still without pity or mercy you fight. So mighty in plunder and death your delight, O wrestlers. So constant in enmity, beauty, I am lovely, O mortals, like a dream of stone, and my bosom where each one gets bruised in turn, to inspire the love of a poet is prone, like matter eternally silent and stern, as an unfathomed sphinx enthroned by the Nile, my heart a swan's whiteness with granite combines, and I hate every movement displacing the lines, and never I weep and never I smile, the poets in front of mine attitudes fine, which the proudest of monuments seem to implant, to studies profound all their moments assign, for I have all these docile swains to enchant. Two mirrors, which beauty in all things ignite, mine eyes, my large eyes of eternal light that I deal. It could ne'er be those beauties of ivory vignettes, the varied display of a worthless age, nor puppet-like figures with castanets, that ever an heart like mine could engage. I leave to Gavarni, that poet of chlorosis, his hospital beauties in troops that whirl. For I cannot discover amid his pale roses a flower to resemble my scarlet ideal. Since what for this fathomless heart I require, is Lady Macbeth you, in crime so dire, an Aeschylus dream transposed from the south, or thee, O great knight of Michelangelo born, who so calmly thy limbs in strange posture hath drawn, whose allurements are framed for a titan's mouth, the giantess, I should have loved, erewhile when heaven conceived, each day, some child abnormal and obscene, beside a maiden giantess to have lived. Like a luxurious cat at the feet of a queen, to see her body flowering with her soul, and grow, unchained, in awe-inspiring art, within the mists across her eyes that stole, to divine the fires entombed within her heart, and oft to scramble o'er her mighty limbs, and climb the slopes of her enormous knees, or in summer when the scorching sunlight streams, across the country, to recline at ease and slumber in the shadow of her breast, like in Hamlet, neath the mountain crest, hymn to beauty, O beauty. Dost thou generate from heaven or from hell, within thy glance, so diabolic and divine, confusedly both wickedness and goodness dwell, and hence one might compare thee unto sparkling wine. Thy look containeth both the dawn and sunset stars, thy perfumes, as upon a sultry night exhale, thy kiss a filter and thy mouth a Grecian vase, that renders heroes cowardly and infants hail. Yea, art thou from the planets or the fiery womb? The demon follows in thy train with magic fraught. Thou scatterst thee seeds haphazardly of joy and doom, thou governst thee everything, but answerst thee unto naught. O loveliness! Thou spurnest corpses with delight. Among thy jewels, horror hath such charms for thee, and murder mid thy mostly cherished trinkets bright. Upon thy massive bosom dances amorously. The blinded, fluttering moth towards the candle flies, then frizzles, falls, and falters. Blessings unto thee. The panting swain that o'er his beauteous mistress sighs. Seems like the sick that stroke their gravestones lovingly. What matter if thou comest from the heavens or hell? O beauty, frightful ghoul, ingenuous and obscure, so long thine eyes thy smile to me the way can tell, towards that infinite I love but never saw from God or Satan, angel, mermaid, Proserpine, what matter if thou makest blithe, voluptuous sprite, with rhythms, perfumes, visions, O mine only queen, the universe less hideous and the hours less trite, exotic perfume. When with closed eyes on a hot afternoon, the scent of thine ardent breast I inhale, celestial vistas my spirit assail, caressed by the flames of an endless sun, a languorous island where nature abounds, with exotic trees and luscious fruit, and with men whose bodies are slim and astute, and with women whose frankness delights and astounds. By thy perfume enticed to this region remote, a port I see, laden with mast and with boat. Still wearied and torn by the distant brine, while the tamarisk odors that dreamily throng, the air, round my slumberous senses entwine, and mix in my soul with the mariner's song, La Chevelure, O fleece that foams down unto the shoulders bare, O curls, O scents which lovely languidness exhale to light. To fill this alcove's somber atmosphere, with memories sleeping deep within this tress of hair, I'll wave it in the evening breezes like a veil, the shores of Africa and Asia's burning skies. A world forgotten, distant, nearly dead and spent, within thy depths, O aromatic forest, lies and like to spirits floating unto melodies, mine own beloved, glides within thy sacred scent, There I will hasten where the trees and humankind, with languor lull beside the hot and silent sea, strong tresses bear me, be to me the waves and wind. Within thy fragrance lies a dazzling dream confined, of sails and masts and flames, O lake of ebony, a loudly echoing harbor, where my soul may hold. To quaff the silver cup of colors, scents and sounds, wherein the vessels glide upon a sea of gold, and stretch their mighty arms, the glory to enfold, of virgin skies where never-ending heat abounds. I'll plunge my brow, enamored with voluptuousness, within this darkling ocean of infinitude, until my subtle spirit, which thy waves caress, shall find you once again, O fertile weariness, unending lullaby of perfumed lassitude, ye tresses blue, recess of strange and somber shades. Ye make the azure of the starry realm immense upon the downy beaches by your curls cascades. Among your mingling fragrances, my spirit wades, to cull the musk and coconut and lotus scents. Long foray, my hand within thy heavy mane, shall scatter rubies, pearls, sapphires eternally, and thus my soul's desire for thee shall never wane, for art not thou the oasis where I dream and drain, with draughts profound, the golden wine of memory, sonnet XXVIII, with pearly robes that wave within the wind. Even when she walks, she seems to dance, like swaying serpents round those wands entwined, which fakirs wear in rhythmic elegance, so like the desert's blue and the sands remote, both deaf to mortal suffering and to strife, or like the seaweeds neath the waves that float. Indifferently she molds her budding life, her polished eyes are made of minerals bright, and in her mien symbolical and cold, wherein an angel mingles with a sphinx of old, where all is gold and steel and gems and light. There shines, just like a useless star eternally, the sterile woman's frigid majesty, posthumous remorse. Ah, when thou shalt slumber, my darkling love, beneath a black marble made statuette, and when thou'lt have not for thy house or alcove, but a cavernous den and a damp oubliette, when the tombstone, oppressing thy timorous breast, and thy hips drooping sweetly with listless decay, the pulse and desires of mine heart shall arrest, and thy feet from pursuing their adventurous way. Then the grave, that dark friend of my limitless dreams, for the grave ever readeth the poet aright, amid those long nights which no slumber redeems, twill query, what use to thee incomplete sprite, that thou ne'er hast unfathomed the tears of the dead, then the worms will gnaw deep at thy body like dread, the balcony, O mother of memories, mistress of mistresses, O thou all my pleasures, O thou all my prayers, canst thou remember those luscious caresses, the charm of the hearth and the sweet evening airs. O mother of memories, mistress of mistresses, those evenings illumined by the glow of the coal, and those roseate nights with their vaporous wings, how calm was thy breast and how good was thy soul. T'was then we uttered imperishable things, those evenings illumined by the glow of the coal. How lovely the suns on those hot autumn nights, how vast were the heavens, and the heart how hail as I lean towards you, O my queen of delights, the scent of thy blood I seem to inhale, how lovely the sun on those hot autumn nights. The shadows of nighttime grew dense like a pall, and deep through the darkness thine eyes I divined, and I drank of thy breath, O sweetness, O gall, and thy feet in my brotherly hands reclined. The shadows of nighttime grew dense like a pall. I know how to call forth those moments so dear, and to live my past, laid on thy knees once more, for where should I seek for thy beauties but here? In thy languorous heart and thy body so pure, I know how to call forth those moments so dear. Those perfumes, those infinite kisses and sighs, are they born in some gulf to our plummets denied, like rejuvenate suns that mount up to the skies, that first have been cleansed in the depths of the tide, O perfumes. O infinite kisses and sighs, the possessed one, the sun is enveloped in crepe like it, O moon of my life, wrap thyself up in shade, at will smoke or slumber, be silent, be stayed, and dive deep down in dispassion's dark pit. I cherish thee thus, but if tease thy mood. Like a star that from out its penumbra appears, to float in the regions where madness careers, fair dagger, burst forth from thy sheath. Tease good, yea, light up thine eyes at the fire of renown or kindle desire by the looks of some clown. Thine all is my joy, whether dull or aflame. Just be what thou wilt, black knight, dawn divine, there is not a nerve in my trembling frame, but cries, I adore thee, Beelzebub mine, semper eatem. From whence it comes, you ask, this gloom acute. Like waves that o'er the rocky headland fall, when once our hearts have gathered in their fruit, to live is a curse. A secret known to all, a grief quite simple, not mysterious, and like your joy for all, both loud and shrill, nay, cease to clamor, be not e'er so curious, and yet although your voice is sweet, be still. Be still, O soul, with rapture ever rife, O mouth, with the childish smile. Far more than life, the subtle bonds of death around us twine. Let my heart the wine of falsehood drink. And dreamlike, deep within your fair eyes sink, and in the shade of thy lashes long recline, all entire, the demon in my lofty vault, this morning came to visit me, and striving me to find at fault, he said, fain would I know of thee, among the many beauteous things, all which her subtle grace proclaim, among the dark and rosy things, which go to make her charming frame, which is the sweetest unto thee, my soul, to him thou didst retort, since all with her is destiny, of preference there can be naught. When all transports me with delight, if aught deludes I cannot know, she either lulls one like the night, or dazzles like the morning glow, that harmony is too divine, which governs all her body fair, for powerless mortals to define, in notes the many concords there, O mystic metamorphosis, of all my senses blent in one, her voice a beauteous perfume is, her breath makes music chaste and wan, sonnet XLII. What sayest thou tonight, poor soul so drear? What sayest, heart erewhile engulfed in gloom? To the very lovely, very chaste, and very dear, whose godlike look hath made thee to rebloom, to her with pride we chant an echoing hymn. For naught can touch the sweetness of her sway, her flesh ethereal as the seraphim. Her eyes with robe of light our souls array, and be it in the night or solitude, among the streets or mid the multitude, her shadow, torch-like, dances in the air and murmurs, I the beautiful proclaim, that for my sake, alone ye love the fair, I am the guardian angel, muse and dame. The living torch, they stand before me now, those eyes that shine, no doubt inspired by an angel wise, they stand, those godlike brothers that are mine, and pour their diamond fires in mine eyes, from all transgressions, from all snares they save. Towards the path of joy they guide my ways, they are my servants, and I am their slave, and all my soul this living torch obeys. Ye charming eyes, ye have those mystic beams, of candles burning in full day, the sun awakes, yet kills not their fantastic gleams. Ye sing the awakening, they the dark oblivion, the awakening of my spirit ye proclaim. O stars, no sun can ever kill your flame, the spiritual dawn, when the morning white and rosy breaks, with the knowing ideal upon the debauchee, by the power of a strange decree, within the sodded beast an angel wakes. The mental heaven's inaccessible blue, for wearied mortals that still dream and mourn, expands and sinks, towards the chasm drawn. Thus cherished goddess, being pure and true, upon the rests of foolish orgy nights, thine image more sublime, more pink, more clear, before my staring eyes is ever there. The sun has darkened all the candle lights, and thus thy specter, like the immortal sun, is ever victorious, thou resplendent one, evening harmony. The hour approacheth when, as their stems incline, the flowers evaporate like an incense urn. And sounds and scents in the vesper breezes turn, a melancholy waltz and a drowsiness divine. The flowers evaporate like an incense urn, the vial vibrates like the wailing of souls that repine. A melancholy waltz and a drowsiness divine. The skies like a mosque are beautiful and stern. The vial vibrates like the wailing of souls that repine, sweet souls that shrink from chaos vast and eterne. The skies like a mosque are beautiful and stern. The sunset drowns within its blood-red brine. Sweet souls that shrink from chaos vast and eterne, essay the wreaths of their faded past to entwine. The sunset drowns within its blood-red brine. Thy thought within me glows like an incense urn, overcast sky. Meseemeth thy glance soft enshrouded with dew, thy mysterious eyes, are they gray, green, or blue, alternately cruel and tender and shy, reflect both the languor and calm of the sky. Thou recallest those white days with shadows caressed, engendering tears from enraptured breast. When racked by an anguish unfathomed that weeps, the nerves too awake jibe the spirit that sleeps. At times thou art like those horizons divine, where the suns of the nebulous seasons decline. How resplendent art thou, O pasturage vast, illumed by the beams of a sky overcast. O, dangerous dame, O seductive clime, as well will I love both thy snow and thy rhyme, and shall I know how from the frosts to entice delights that are keener than iron and ice, invitation to a journey. My sister, my dear, consider how fair. Together to live it would be, down yonder to fly, to love till we die, in the land which resembles thee, those suns that rise, neath erratic skies. No charm could be like unto theirs, so strange and divine like those eyes of thine, which glow in the midst of their tears. There all is order and loveliness, luxury, calm, and voluptuousness. The tables and chairs, polished bright by the years, would decorate sweetly our rooms, and the rarest of flowers would twine round our bowers, and mingle their amber perfumes, the ceilings arrayed, and the mirrors inlaid, this eastern splendor among, would furtively steal o'er our souls and appeal with its tranquillous native tongue. There all is order and loveliness, luxury, calm, and voluptuousness. In the harbors peep at the vessels asleep. Their humor is always to roam, yet it is but to grant thy smallest want, from the ends of the earth that they come, the sunset's beam, upon meadow and stream, and upon the city entire. neath a violet crest. The world sinks to rest, illumined by a golden fire. There all is order and loveliness, luxury, calm, and voluptuousness. Cosery, you are a roseate autumn sky that glows, yet sadness rises in me like the flood, and leaves an ebbing on my lips morose, the poignant memory of its bitter mind. In vain your hands my swooning breast embrace. Oh, friend, alone remains the plundered spot, where woman's biting grip has left its trace. My heart, the beasts devoured seek it not. My heart is a palace pillaged by the herd. They kill and take each other by the throat. A perfume glides around your bosom bared. O loveliness, thou scourge of souls devote, thine eyes of fire luminous like feasts, to burn these rags rejected by the beasts' autumn song. Aye, shortly we will plunge within the frigid gloom. Farewell, swift summer brightness, all too short. I hear already sounding with a death-like boom the wood that falls upon the pavement of the court. The whole of winter enters in my being pain. Hate, honor, labor hard and forced in dread, and like the northern sun upon its polar plain. My heart will soon be but a stone, iced and red. I listen trembling unto every log that falls. The scaffold which they build has not a duller sound. My spirits waver like the trembling tower walls that shake with every echoing blow the builders pound. Meseemeth as to these monotonous blows I sway, they nail for one a coffin lid, or sound a knell for whom? Autumn now and summer yesterday. This strange, mysterious noise betokens a farewell. Roman 2. I love within your oblong eyes the verdant rays, my sweet. But bitter everything today meseems, and not your love, the boudoir, nor the flickering blaze, can replace the sun that o'er the screen streams. And yet bemother and caress me, tender heart even me the thankless and the worthless one, beloved or sister unto me the sweets impart, of a glorious autumn or a sinking sun, ephemeral task. The beckoning empty tomb is set. O grant me as upon your knees my head I lay, because the white and torrid summer I regret, to taste the parted season's mild and amber ray. Sisina, imagine Diana in gorgeous array, how into the forests and thickets she flies, with her hair in the breezes and flushed for the fray, how the very best riders she proudly defies. Have you seen Theragne of the bloodthirsty heart, as an unshod herd to attack he bestirs, with cheeks all inflamed, playing up to his part? As he goes, sword in hand, up the royal stairs, and so is Sisina, yet this warrior sweet has a soul with compassion and kindness replete, inspired by drums and by powder her sway, knows how to concede to the supplicant's prayers, and her bosom, laid waste by the flames, has alway, for those that are worthy, a fountain of tears, to a Creolean lady, in a country perfumed with the sun's embrace. I knew neath a dais of purpled palms, and branches where idleness weeps o'er one's face. A Creolean lady of unknown charms, her tint, pale and warm, this bewitching bride, displays a nobly nurtured mien, courageous and grand like a huntsman her stride, a tranquil smile and eyes serene. If, madam, you go to the true land of gain, by the banks of the verdant Loire or the Seine, how worthy to garnish some pile of renown, you'd awake in the calm of some shadowy nest, a thousand songs in the poet's breast, that your eyes would inspire far more than your brown, Mosta et Arabunda, O Agatha, tell. Does thy heart not at times fly away, far from the city impure and the lowering sea, to another ocean that blinds with its dazzling array, so blue and so clear and profound like virginity? O Agatha, tell. Does thy heart not at times fly away, the sea, the vast ocean our travail and trouble consoles? What demon hath gifted the sea with a voice from on high, to sing us, attuned to an aeolus organ that rolls forth a grumbling burden, a lenitive lullaby? The sea, the vast ocean our travail and trouble consoles. O carry me, wagons, O sailing ships, help me depart far, far, here the dust is quite wet with our showering tears. O say, it is true that Agatha's desolate heart proclaimeth, away from remorse and from crimes and from cares. O carry me, wagons, O sailing ships, help me depart, how distant you seem to be, perfumed Elysian fields, wherein there is nothing but sunshine and love and glee, where all that one loves is so worthy and lovingly yields, and our hearts float about in the purest of ecstasy. How distant you seem to be, perfumed Elysian fields, but the green paradise of those transient infantile loves, the strolls and the songs and the kisses and bunches of flowers, the vials vibrating beyond in the mountainous groves, with the chalice of wine and the evening entwined in the bowers. But the green paradise of those transient infantile loves, that innocent heaven o'erflowing with furtive delight, than China or India, is it still further away, or could one with pitiful prayers bring it back to our sight, or yet with a silvery voice o'er the ages convey? That innocent heaven o'erflowing with furtive delight, the ghost, just like an angel with evil eye, I shall return to thee silently, upon thy bower I'll alight, with falling shadows of the night. With thee, my brownie, I'll commune, and give thee kisses cold as the moon. And with a serpent's moist embrace, I'll crawl around thy resting place, and when the livid morning falls, thou'lt find alone the empty walls, and till the evening cold twill be as others with their tenderness. Upon thy life and youthfulness, I'll reign alone with dread o'er thee, autumn song, they ask me, thy crystalline eyes so acute. Odd lover, why am I to thee so dear? Be sweet and keep silent, my heart, which is sear, for all save the rude and untutored brute, is loth its infernal depths to reveal. And its dissolute motto engraven with fire, O charmer, whose arms endless slumber inspire, I abominate passion and wit makes me ill, so let us love gently. Within his retreat, foreboding, love seeks for his arrows a prey. I know all the arms of his battle array. Delirium and loathing, O pale Marguerite, like me, art thou not an autumnal ray? Alas, my so white, my so cold Marguerite, sadness of the moon goddess. Tonight the moon dreams with increased weariness, like a beauty stretched forth on a downy heap. Of rugs, while her languorous fingers caress the contour of her breasts before falling to sleep, on the satin back of the avalanche soft, she falls into lingering swoons as she dies, while she lifteth her eyes to white visions aloft, which like efflorescence float up to the skies, when at times in her languor down onto the sphere, she slyly lets trickle a furtive tear. A poet, desiring slumber to shun, takes up this pale tear in the palm of his hand, the colors of which like an opal blend, and buries it far from the eyes of the sun. Cats, all ardent lovers and all sages prize, as ripening years incline upon their brows, the mild and mighty cats, pride of the house, that like unto them are indolent, stern, and wise, the friends of learning and of ecstasy, they search for silence and the horrors of gloom, the devil had used them for his steeds of doom, could he alone have bent their pride to slavery? When musing, they display those outlines chaste, of the great sphinxes, stretched o'er the sandy waste, that seem to slumber deep in a dream without end. From out their loins a fountainous furnace flies, and grains of sparkling gold as fine as sand bestar the mystic pupils of their eyes, owls, beneath the shades of somber yews. The silent owls sit ranged in rows, like ancient idols, strangely pose, and darting fiery eyes they muse, immovable they sit and gaze, until the melancholy hour, at which the darknesses devour the faded sunset's slanting rays, their attitude instructs the wise. That he within this world, who flies from tumult and from merriment, the man allured by a passing face, forever bears the chastisement of having wished to change his place. Music, oft music possesses me like the seas to my planet pale. Neath a ceiling of mist in the lofty breeze, I set my sail, with inflated lungs and expanded chest, like to a sail, on the backs of the heaped-up billows I rest, which the shadows veil. I feel all the anguish within me arise. Of a ship in distress, the tempest, the rain, neath the lowering skies, my body caress at times the calm pool or the mirror clear of my despair, the joyous defunct. Where snails abound in a juicy soil, I will dig for myself a fathomless grave, where at leisure mine ancient bones I can coil, and sleep quite forgot, like a shark neath the wave. I hate every tomb, I abominate wills, and rather than tears from the world to implore, I would ask of the crows with their vampire bills to devour every bit of my carcass impure. O worms, without eyes, without ears, black friends, to you a defunct one rejoicing descends, enlivened philosophers, offspring of dung, without any qualms, o'er my wreckage spread, and tell if some torment there still can be rung, for this soulless old frame that is dead midst the dead, the broken bell, how sweet and bitter on a winter night, beside the palpitating fire to list, as slowly distant memories alight, to sounds of chimes that sing across the mist. O happy is that bell with hearty throat, which neither age nor time can e'er defeat, which faithfully uplifts its pious note, like an aged soldier on his beat. For me, my soul is cracked, and mid her cares, would often fill with her songs the midnight airs. And oft it chances that her feeble moan is like the wounded warrior's fainting groan, who by a lake of blood, neath bodies slain, in anguish falls and never moves again, spleen. The rainy moon of all the world is weary, and from its urn a gloomy cold pours down upon the pallid inmates of the mortuary and on the neighboring outskirts of the town. My wasted cat, in searching for a litter, bestirs its mangy paws from post to post, a poet's soul that wanders in the gutter with the jaded voice of a shivering ghost. The smoking pine log, while the drone laments, accompanies the wheezy pendulum, the while amidst a haze of dirty scents, those fatal remnants of a sick man's room, the gallant knave of hearts and queen of spades, relate their ancient amorous escapades, obsession. Great forests, you alarm me like a mighty fane, like organ tones you roar, and in our hearts of stone, where ancient sobs vibrate, O halls of endless pain, the answering echoes of your de profundis moan. I hate thee, ocean, hate thy tumults and thy throbs, my spirit finds them in himself. This bitter glee of vanquished mortals, full of insults and of sobs, I hear it in the mightiest laughter of the sea, O starless night. Thy loveliness my soul inhales. Without those starry rays which speak a language known, for I desire the dark, the naked, and the lone, but e'en those darknesses themselves to me are veils, where live, and by the millions, neath my eyelids prance, long, long departed beings with familiar glance, magnetic horror. Beneath this sky, so livid and strange, tormented like thy destiny, what thoughts within thy spirit range themselves? O libertine, reply. With vain desires, forever torn, towards the uncert and the vast. And yet, like Ovid, I'll not mourn, who from his Roman heaven was cast. O heavens, turbulent as the streams, in you I mirror forth my pride, your clouds, which clad in mourning glide, are the hearses of my dreams, and in your illusion lies the hell, wherein my heart delights to dwell, the lid, where'er he may rove upon sea or on land. Neath a fiery sky or a pallid sun, be he Christian or one of Cythera's band, opulent Croesus or beggar, tis one, whether citizen, peasant, or vagabond he. Be his little brain active or dull. Everywhere, man feels the terror of mystery, and looks upon high with a glance full of fear. The heaven above, that oppressive wall, a ceiling lit up in some lewd music hall, where the actors step forth on a blood-red soil, the eremite's hope and the dread of the sot, the sky, that black lid of a mighty pot, where, vast and minute, human races boil, Bertha's eyes, the loveliest eyes you can scorn with your wondrous glow, oh. Beautiful childish eyes there abounds in your light. A something unspeakably tender and good as the night. Oh, eyes, over me your enchanting darkness let flow, large eyes of my child. O arcana profoundly adored, ye resemble so closely those caves in the magical creek, where within the deep slumbering shade of some petrified peak, there shines, undiscovered, the gems of a dazzling hoard. My child has got eyes so profound and so dark and so vast, like thee. O unending night, and thy mystical shine, their flames are those thoughts that with love and with faith combine, and sparkle deep down in the depths so alluring or chaste. The set of the romantic sun, how beauteous the sun as it rises supreme, like an explosion that greets us from above. Oh, happy is he that can hail with love, its decline more glorious far than a dream. I saw flower, furrow, and brook. I recall how they swooned like a tremulous heart neath the sun. Let us haste to the skyline. Tease late, let us run, at least to catch one slanting ray ere it fall. But the god who eludes me I chase all in vain. The night, irresistible, plants its domain. Black mists and vague shivers of death it forebodes, while an odor of graves through the darkness spreads, and on the swamp's margin my timid foot treads, upon slimy snails and on unseen toads meditation. Be wise, O my woe, seek thy grievance to drown. Thou didst call for the night, and behold it is here, an atmosphere somber envelopes the town, to some bringing peace and to others a care, whilst the manifold souls of the vile multitude, neath the lash of enjoyment that merciless sway, go plucking remorse from the menial brood. From them far, O my grief, hold my hand, come this way. Behold how they beckon, those years, long expired, from heaven in faded apparel attired. How regret, smiling, foams on the waters like yeast, its arches of slumber the dying sun spreads, and like a long winding sheet dragged to the east. O, hearken, beloved, how the night softly treads, to a passerby, around me thundered the deafening noise of the street, in mourning apparel, portraying majestic distress, with queenly fingers just lifting the hem of her dress. A stately woman passed by with hurrying feet, agile and noble, with limbs of perfect poise. Ah, how I drank, thrilled through like a being insane. In her look, a dark sky from whence springs forth the hurricane. There lay but the sweetness that charms and the joy that destroys, a flash than the night. O loveliness fugitive, whose glance has so suddenly caused me again to live, shall I not see you again till this life is o'er, elsewhere, far away, too late, perhaps nevermore, for I know not whither you fly, nor you where I go, O soul that I would have loved, and that, you know, illusionary love. When I behold thee wander by, my languorous love, to songs of viols which throughout the dome resound, harmonious and stately as thy footsteps move, bestowing forth the languor of thy glance profound. When I regard thee, glowing in the gaslight rays, thy pallid brow embellished by a charm obscure, here where the evening torches light the twilight haze, thine eyes attracting me like those of a portraiture, I say, how beautiful she is! How strangely rich, a mighty memory, royal and commanding tower. A garland, and her heart, bruised like a ruddy peach, is ripe, like her body for love's sapient power. Art thou that spicy autumn fruit with taste supreme? Art thou a funeral vase inviting tears of grief aroma? causing one of Eastern wastes to dream a downy cushion, bunch of flowers, or golden sheaf, I know that there are eyes, most melancholy ones, wherein no precious secret deeply hidden lies, resplendent shrines, devoid of relics, sacred stones, more empty, more profound than ye yourselves, O skies. Yea, does thy semblance not alone for me suffice, to kindle senses which the cruel truth abhor all one to me? Thy folly or thy heart of ice, deke or mask, all hail. Thy beauty I adore, mists and rains, O last of autumn and winter steeped in haze, O sleepy seasons, you I love and praise, because around my heart and brain you twine, a misty winding sheet and a nebulous shrine, on that great plain where frigid blasts abound, where through the nights so long the vein whirls round. My soul, more free than in the springtime soft, will stretch her raven wings and soar aloft, unto an heart with gloomy things replete, on which remain the frosts of former times. O pallid seasons, mistress of our climes, as your pale shadows, nothing is so sweet, unless it be on a moonless night at wane, on some chance couch to soothe to sleep our pain, the wine of lovers, today the distance is superb, without bridle, spur, or curb, let us mount on the back of wine, for regions fairy and divine. Let's like two angels tortured by some dark, delirious fantasy, pursue the distant mirage drawn, or the blue crystal of the dawn, and gently balanced on the wing of some obliging whirlwind, we, in equal rapture reveling. My sister, side by side, will flee, without repose nor truce where gleams the golden paradise of my dreams, condemned women, like thoughtful cattle on the yellow sands reclined. They turn their eyes towards the horizon of the sea, their feet towards each other stretched, their hands entwined. They tell of gentle yearning, frigid misery, a few with heart-confiding faith of old, imbued, amid the darkling grove where silver streamlets flow, unfold to each their loves of tender infanthood, and carve the verdant stems of the vine-kissed portico, and others, like unto nuns with footsteps slow and grave, ascend the hallowed rocks of ancient mystic lore, where long ago sent Anthony, like a surging wave, the naked purpled breasts of his temptation saw. And still some more, that neath the shimmering masses stroll, among the silent chasm of some pagan caves, to soothe their burning fevers unto thee they call, O Bacchus, who all ancient wounds and sorrow laves, and others again whose necks in scapulars delight, who hide a whip beneath their garments secretly, commingling in the somber wood and lonesome night, the foam of torments and of tears with ecstasy, O virgins, demons, monsters, and O martyred brood, great souls that mock reality with remorseless sneers. O saints and satyrs, searchers for infinitude, at times so full of shouts, at times so full of tears, you to whom within your hell my spirit flies, poor sisters, yea, I love you as I pity you, for your unsatiated thirsts and anguished sighs, and for the vials of love within your heart so true, the death of the lovers, we will have beds which exhale odors soft, we will have divans profound as the tomb, and delicate plants on the ledges aloft, which under the bluest of skies for us bloom. Exhausting our hearts to their last desires, they both shall be like unto two glowing coals, reflecting the twofold light of their fires, across the twin mirrors of our two souls, one evening of mystical azure skies, we'll exchange but one single lightning flash, just like a long sob, replete with goodbyes, and later an angel shall joyously pass, through the half-open doors to replenish and wash, the torches expired and the tarnished glass, the death of the poor. It is death that consoles, yea, and causes our lives, tease the goal of this life and of hope the soul ray, which like a strong potion enlivens and gives us the strength to plod on to the end of the day and all through the tempest, the frost, and the snows, tease the shimmering light on our black skyline, tease the famous in which the guidebook shows, where at one can eat and sleep and recline, tease an angel that holds in his magic hands the sleep which ecstatic dream commands. Who remakes up the beds of the naked and poor, tease the fame of the gods, tease the granary blessed, tease the purse of the poor and his birthplace of rest, to the unknown heavens, tease the wide open door. End of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK The Flowers of Evil asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works. So the foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use, of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full Project GUTENBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg. You agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. C. Paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated, is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1. E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to a work with the phrase Project Gutenberg, associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted, with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the Project Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense to the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. 1E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that /he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works you provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in Section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark, electronic works, and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as, but not limited to, incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other, intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1. F2. Limited warranty, disclaimer of DAMAGES, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the project. Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the project. Gutenberg Trademark Trademark and any other party distributing a project. Gutenberg Trademark Electronic Work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1. F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you received the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you received the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1. F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you as is with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1. F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1. F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur. A, distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work. B, alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work. And C, any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) 3. Educational corporation organized under the laws of the State of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or federal tax identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax-deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516. Montclair NJ 7042, USA, plus 1-862-621-9288. Email contact links and up. To date contact information can be found at the foundation's website, an official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact, section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. Section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.